Genesis. Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. This will be an opportunity to discuss together a little bit about what is happening in the chapters before us. I want to pull back a little bit again and bring in some added information. We had talked about the wells and how Jacob was forced, Isaac, we're moving now into Jacob, and that's why I used his name, Isaac, had repeated his father's lack of faith and gone to Gerar during the time of famine. This was a Philistine nation, and as I shared last week, I recently learned, I don't think I knew this information before, that the Philistines, it has the idea of on the sea or by the sea, and they were known for really being seamen on traveling mostly out into the sea, the Mediterranean and so forth. And then they began to move inland and began to conquer nations. And so during a time of famine, Isaac went and did as his father did. Greater deception he used than his father did. By the way, a warning to us, our children are probably going to take things we do to a further extent. And so we need to really be careful in our parenting regarding that. But Abraham had said to Abimelech, and Abimelech, it's not the same about Abimelech. Abimelech is actually a title, not a person's name. And so this would be another Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. This is another Abimelech. And so his father Abraham had lied regarding Sarah, and now Isaac is going to lie regarding his wife Rebekah, that she's my sister, concerning that someone would maybe kill him and take her from him, and kill him to get her, so to speak. And so after that, though, they left and they were chased away from the Philistines and Abimelech, and they found a well that his father had dug, and the Philistine, after they emptied the well back up to get it able to be profitable again, they were chased away by the Philistines, went and dug another well, and they were chased away again for that well and went further away and dug another well, and then they had rest. A couple of things that were brought to my attention since then, Virginia had mentioned, you know, sometimes we're just never satisfied. We always want more. And that's one of the things we need to be really careful of. And we brought that in with the story of Jacob deceiving Esau as well. I was also talking to Brother Bob. I hope you don't mind if I share your inspiration, Brother Bob. But he was talking about, you know, sometimes we finally get far enough away that there's a room for space. And, okay, you're far enough away that you're no longer a threat. And it almost seems like it could have been there with the Philistines. But we did talk about, be careful what we're battling over. Some things aren't worth fighting over. You can win the battle and lose the war type of a thing. And that was going on in their lives. Also then, now we get into this chapter 27. I'm going to pick it up in verse 15 when we actually get to the text. But this is a story where Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob, okay? And what Isaac had planned, that he was going to give a blessing to Esau. There's a difference between a blessing and a birthright. Jacob had already taken his birthright for the sod pottage. The birthright was half of his father's possessions. But the blessing was really status, and if someone received the blessing, that meant that they would be the head of the family, they would have greater status. So really, more important or more valued than the birthright was the blessing. And so Esau could have been going at this with this mindset, well, I lost the birthright, but I still have the blessing. And since I'm my dad's favorite, I'm going to get the blessing, and that's what was planned. But he had sent his son away to get some venison because he loved his son's venison. And upon receiving that venison meal, then he would give a blessing to his son, Esau. And so Isaac had this all planned out, and he was going to bless his favorite son. And he would not have the birthright, but he would have the status now. And this would be more of a pride issue. This would be a stature issue. And he would be served by other people. And so he thought, wow, my brother might have my birthright, but he's going to end up serving me one day. But the story changed. The story changed because of a lot of deceit that developed into lying. And it was really prompted by Rebecca, where she had encouraged her favorite, Jacob, to deceive, not this time, not deceiving his brother, really deceiving his father. And so you think of the steps there. And by the way, again, in parenting, we need to be careful. Sometimes we work our children against our mate. We almost use them as pawns, trying to play out our game so that we win. By the way, who won? Who won? Yeah, really, no one won in this situation. And so, again, we got to be really careful. So we're going to get into that story and kind of develop this a little bit further. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Your Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for this day. And we're looking forward to, at least I am, our being together, hearing about the Triple S retreat and what you're allowing to be done there for single ladies. And Father, hearing about missions and getting the gospel to every creature and what we can do to be part of that. And then even seeing a child dedicated and parents dedicated to bringing up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we have much ahead of us. I pray that we do it in such a way that it wouldn't draw attention to us, but it would draw attention to you. I pray that our light would shine. I pray that anybody visiting in our midst today will see Christ in us and be drawn to what we have in our Lord and Savior. Guide in the time that we have now spending to talk about Genesis and making applications to our personal lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So look in chapter 27, if you would, with me. Let's pick up the reading in verse number 15. Last week we talked some about the story, but actually didn't read much of it at all. And one of the things that caught me is the work that went into deceiving. I don't think we often stop and think about this, but when we plan to deceive someone, it takes a lot of work. Somebody said the most challenging thing or most blessed thing about telling the truth is you don't have to remember what you said. The most challenging thing about lying is you have to remember how you said it. Because this isn't the normal way. This is out of your norm, hopefully. And so let's look at what happened here. Let's begin with verse number 15. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. Now think about the work that is taking to deceive her husband. She's planning to deceive her husband through her son. And so she's getting the garments of Esau because he would smell Esau's scent, so to speak, on that. He would recognize Esau's clothing if he would reach out to him. They would also have to take lambs and sacrifice or kill them. I shouldn't say sacrifice, kill them for the sake of this. Or take some type of the hides that they would have had left over, the coat that they would have left over from a previous sacrifice. And they take that and notice how she had to put that upon his hands and upon his neck, the smooth of his neck. So think about how she was really going at this. If you would know the story, you would remember, but maybe you don't know the story. They were twins, sort of. Not identical twins, that's for sure. Esau had come out and he was red and he was hairy. And so he had enough hair around his neck and on his hands that they would actually use from a lamb. So think of the work that's going into that. That couldn't have been easy. I was just thinking, how do you even do that? And just meditating on that this week. Then she took time to prepare the meat just like her husband would like. and she was taking lamb and making it to taste just like his favorite venison. Now, you know me, I don't cook, but I presume there's a little extra work in trying to make one meat taste like a different meat. They don't all taste like chicken, do they? I don't know. There's one meat trying to make it taste. So there's a lot of work going into deception. Wouldn't it be easier to just tell the truth? Wouldn't it be easier to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding? And sometimes, by the way, we would not maybe go to this extreme in our families, but maybe we do. Maybe there's times we're leveraging things. Maybe there's times we're trying to get things. And again, the bottom line of this Sunday school challenge is this, that we should be learning to trust in the Lord and be satisfied with what He gives us, instead of working and manipulating and trying to get things to go the way we want them to go. There's a lot of work in that. And so we see here how she was working hard with her son. This is a joint operation. And it often goes further than we want it to. Pick it up in verse number 18. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he says, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am... Okay, this isn't deception anymore, is it? Now it's blatant lying. Maybe caught off guard even by, oh man, I never even thought he's going to ask me that. Again, sometimes we have this plan and it ends up we go further than we were planning on going. What is it? Sin takes you farther than we want to go. What? There's a lot of murmuring and disputing here. Let's start with Miss Rose. She's a preacher's wife, and I'm sure your husband said this somewhere. What is it, Miss Rose? Sin
will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay.
Wow, she can preach. She's got it down. So this was taking, I think, maybe took Jacob further than he wanted to go. And I thought it was really interesting. Right out from the very beginning, who art thou, my son? You would not think Dad was going to ask that question. I'm reading into it a little bit, but I'm not reading into this. It went quickly from deception to lying. It was a deceived operation in planning. But it starts with a blatant lie. And so I marked that in my Bible. Verse number 19. Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison. Again, that's another lie. It wasn't venison. That thy soul may bless me. That's the truth. Somebody said with Satan that he mixes a thread of truth with multiple threads of lies, and that's often how it is. And Satan will put that one thread of truth in there, maybe a couple threads of truth in with the lies to capture us, almost like a cable wound with those multiple threads. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Now this is where it really gets bad. Look at the end of verse 20. What's he say? So what's this now? What would you call that sin? Blasphemy. I would call it that. It's lying, yes. But think about how far he's going now. Someone said to me last week, I don't remember who said it, I'm sorry, but somebody said after Sunday school last week, you know, we can choose our sin, but we can't choose our consequences. And sometimes we choose, and then we get ourselves in deeper. Remember David with Bathsheba? And when kings should have gone forth to war, David commits a sin with Bathsheba, never thinking it's ultimately going to lead me to the murdering of her husband. And so we have to, again, think through this. And when you're parenting, and let me go back to that because that's been something I've tried to bring in multiple times in these stories, because we're dealing with parents They provoke their children to wrath by choosing favorites, and we talked about that last week. But also, they're leading their children into a deceptive way of life. And I just begin to wonder now, maybe that deception was back with the birthright too. It wasn't mentioned. But if this is how deceiving and deceptive Rebecca has taught Jacob to be, by the way, his name means deceiver. God's ultimately going to change his name, but we have to really be careful, because when you get your child, oh, don't tell them this. Just tell them this. And all of a sudden your child is asked a straight out question. Oh no, what now? What do I say? The temptation now is going to be for them to lie, because you've already kind of preempted them into deception. So again, be really careful. I'm going to talk about with the dedication, but isn't parenting challenging? For Seth, he's raising one children. For Lois, she's already raising two. Parenting is challenging. She's trying to clean up your mess, Tim. Anyway. what is it? What a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. And really, who got it caught in the web? Not just Esau, but Jacob got himself caught in it. And so let's really be careful there. Someone else, anybody, other comments in reading this or knowing this little bit of the story? Anyone else want to bring or interject something in? You want it all? Okay. With this now, Jacob is going to end up with both the birthright and the blessing. He's going to end up with the things plus the status. And he ultimately, and this is where it takes its maybe hardest line, he then becomes part of the line of Christ. And Esau now becomes a part of the line of the Edomites and of the enemies of the children of Israel. And so what a harsh, drastic change this took. Time heals all wounds, is what some would believe. And actually, even if you talk to somebody in the medical field, it's not time that's healing, it's a lot of activity. And it has to do with the red blood cells and other things that I don't fully understand, so I won't try to explain. It isn't time that heals things, there's activity going on. And so, but Rebecca's of that kind of a mindset. Let's look at verse number 43. This is after the deception's over and the blessing has been given away. By the way, there's a greater lamenting of losing the blessing by Esau. And he's wondering, can't there be a blessing for me? And so forth. And but let's look, pick it up in verse 43. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Yeah, that's a problem. That's what it got him into this, obeying your voice. Obey my voice and arise. Flee to Laban, my brother to Ran. Well, where was that in the plan? You never told me after I did this, I'm going to have to run away for a number of years. But this is, again, you can choose your sin, but you can't choose the consequences. And tarry with him a few days, and it ended up being more than a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away. And again, time will heal wounds. Don't worry, just leave for a little while. He'll get over it. You know, by the way, let me talk to you about this briefly. It wasn't part of my plan, but we need to learn to resolve problems and not just evade them. And we need to learn to say, you know what, I've sinned against you, and I've asked the Lord to forgive me. Will you please forgive me? And again, what we're doing is then dealing with, we're not just merely, hey, I'm sorry I hurt you. Just telling us you're sorry is telling us how you what?
Feel.
How you feel. But is it really dealing with the situation? No. You just told somebody how you feel. You haven't really addressed the problem. And so you have to say, hey, I sinned against you when I, I'd ask the Lord to forgive me. Will you please forgive me? And what you've done then is you've kind of taken the ball, and I've illustrated that before, and you've handed it to them. It's now the ball's in their hands, so to speak, if I can put it in that terminology. And the Bible says about sin, I think in the book of Isaiah, cast it like a ball into the sea. So I'm not that far off in the analogy. You've put the ball into their hands, so to speak, and now they have the opportunity to put it behind them, which is what the word repent means, or to forgive, to put it behind them and say, hey, I forgive you, and the sin's no longer between you. Or if they walk away and don't grant you forgiveness, now it's not on you anymore, it's now on them. And they'll now have to deal with the consequences of an unwillingness to forgive. By the way, we forgive people we love. If your child sins against you in the way somebody else sins against you, you'll forgive your child because you love them. You won't hold a grudge against them for years. But you'll hold a grudge against someone else because you don't love them. And so, anyway, it's part of our selfish nature in which we get caught up in. But here's the idea. She's not dealing with this. She's not actually dealing with a sin at all. And sometimes what happens, we get further and further into problems because we don't deal with the sin. All right, I'm not supposed to be preaching. I'm supposed to be teaching. Let's get back to teaching. Look at verse 45. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he will forget that which thou hast done to him. By the way, neither of them forgot. Genesis 33 is coming up. I've talked about it a couple times. They're going to be afraid to meet each other because they're not sure if the other is still angry about the previous years. But here's the idea. And again, this is our human philosophy. Hey, let it go away for a while. We'll eventually forget. How many of you forget when someone really sins against you? How many of you just forget? Oh, I forgot all about that. No, we remember. We rehashed it in our mind. And so again, we've got to be careful. This is horrible parenting. And Seth and Lois, this is what not to do in your parenting, okay? I'm not going to preach this message in the dedication or any of you other parents. This is not the way we ought to be handling matters, nor teaching your child. I'll leave the room, go play with something else. He'll forget that you took that from him after a while, and then you two can play again later. That would be horrible parenting, and horrible as a Christian. So, but here's her idea, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? What's going on here? Tell me a little bit about Rebecca. What she's saying, what's she thinking? Where's the sin in all this? Virginia.
She's thinking of herself.
After this whole mess that she's planned out. Why should I be deprived of both of you in one day? So this became more about her than about Jacob. Somebody else? Any other comments? Becky.
Well, she realized she's losing Esau too.
Yeah.
Is she going to lose Jacob physically, but she's lost Esau.
Yes, that's a great point. I didn't even think through that. She's really, in a sense, recognizing I lost Esau through this, and of course the deception is going to be, the whole plan is going to be unfolded and revealed here. So Esau she's going to lose because of his hatred and resentment. And so she's recognizing, I'm losing you both now because of this thing that we did. And I don't want to lose you both. So you listen to me. I'll get you out of problems. Yeah, she got him into problems. Anyone else? Virginia.
Again, if I could say, she, and not in any of that, did she ever seek the Lord. She was just thinking her wisdom, not the Lord's counsel at all.
Yeah, and this is the bottom line. This is ultimately where we're going to head with this Sunday school lesson. She's not praying about this. She's not trying to glorify God. She's not asking the Lord for help. By the way, if you're planning some type of a plan, no matter what it is, and you're never asking the Lord for help and wisdom and direction in this, you got to stop and think, wait a second, is this really what I ought to be doing? Or am I manipulating situations to get something for myself or my own thing? So if we're not asking the Lord for direction, we're not, because if at any time that she would stop and pray, she'd think, wow, this I'm on the wrong track here. And I'm not trusting in the Lord with this. And so, again, anybody else? Yes, Brother David.
Was it Jewish tradition or something that Esau was bound to say, hey, you know, I would think, hey, wait a minute, you know, you deceived me, you lied to me, you don't get the blessing. You know, to Jacob and say, okay, Esau, you get it. Was he bound by something?
He was bound. Great question. Jewish tradition, you are bound. Like a covenant, when you gave that blessing, it was like the binding of a covenant. And actually, if we'd read through it all, you can kind of get a hint of that. Isaac really says, because Esau's pleading, bless me also. And he can't. He had given that blessing, and it could not be reversed. And so this was something, according to Jewish tradition, and I think before the Lord, he felt that he was responsible then, that it couldn't be changed. Oh, wait, deception, wait, rule, fraction of the rule, page 7, paragraph 2, line 7, that revert, no. He was bound once that blessing was given. And once the birthright was given away, they could not get it back. So, good question. Ms. Mom.
I question the relationship between Isaac and Rebecca and what it was even after this.
Yeah, by the way, it's really interesting. She says, I question the relationship between Isaac and Rebecca. And I was thinking Jacob when you said that. Let me address multitudes of things here. Yeah, but what kind of relationship did they have? That this was going on, and she was willing to do this to her own husband, especially in his older years, and his eyes were now failing, and health quickly failing at this point. And so this kind of brings out what kind of relationship did they have. You wonder what kind of a true relationship did Jacob have with his own mom. I mean, was he distrusting her because of how she used him? Sadly, she talked about, why should I be deprived of both of you in a day? She would actually never see her son again. And so she had a plan, but it didn't come out. She worked a plan. You go, I'll send for you, but she never sent for him. And this was a dysfunctional family in the line of Christ. Isn't that interesting to hear? We talk about dysfunctional families. I don't think they went home and Isaac said to Rebecca, we've got a dysfunctional home. I don't think that's how it happened, but that's exactly what it was. Brother Horst.
Owen's time hearing this story, did we ever hear that the birthright or the blessing meant anything? Because in the end, both men prospered. Both men had big herds and all these things. When do we hear what it all meant?
We ultimately don't hear from the scriptural standpoint from the birthright. Both of them were ultimately prosperous in their own ways. I believe the prosperity of Jacob ended up being much greater than the prosperity of Esau, though it's not stated. He will say, again, chapter 33, that you go ahead because I've got all the cattle and the children that are with me. We've got to travel at a different speed. Esau is not mentioned with... Esau's going to end up marrying three different women, but he's really not mentioned along with families mentioned in warfare. So that's kind of interesting. He's not known as a family man. I'm not saying he never was a family man, but how can you be if you have three wives? But anyway, he's not really known to be a family man. He's traveling with the warriors. And so there ends up being definitely more prosperity in Jacob than Esau. And there ends up being definitely more of a blessing, because I'm going to bless them that bless you and curse him that curseth you. That went right on to Jacob, and the Lord therein blessed him. So we don't hear a lot of it, but there are some undertones you would read in scriptures, kind of reading between the line, that there was definitely a prosperity difference between the two, and largely probably because of getting the birthright. Shane.
What kind of confused with sometimes is God made the statement in the scripture, said to Jacob, of my love, that Esau are my people. And I don't understand
the concept
because Jacob is the one that was more deceptive to me than Esau.
Yeah, here's a couple of things really interesting. He's speaking from the book of Revelation, and he's talking about a degrees in comparative degrees. God loves the world, and it's very clear that God loves everyone, but he's saying in the comparative degrees of things. And while we emphasize the deceit of Jacob, we have to recognize, and that passage is establishing how merciful God is. And doesn't it give us the epitome of how merciful God is when he loves one that's so deceptive? And we all have to come to this conclusion, wow, if God can love Jacob, he can love me. Because this man's a rascal. This man's a deceiver. This man's a liar. This man lies and cheats from and steals from his own family members. I mean, in a sense, you come to this conclusion, he's the lowest of the low. And that passage is meant where God is establishing how merciful he is. And he extends mercy to who he wants to extend mercy. And he extended mercy in Jacob because Jacob ends up surrendering his life to the Lord. And so God does. He wrestles with God on Mount Peniel, chapter 32. And he ends up surrendering to the Lord. And the Lord changes his name. And he ends up going on to serve the Lord. Now Esau, in the other situation, he turned the other way. And Esau did not go toward the Lord, but went his own way. Ends up becoming the enemy of his father's family. And so I think in the comparative, God's saying there's a comparative difference between the two because of their direction and their lives took. Now there's a lot deeper theology in that would take us a whole different direction. But that is a challenging verse to understand. But I think it's because it's trying to show the epitome of how merciful God is. And then also there's the contrasting difference these two men went. After this, Jacob ends up surrendering. So in fact, as we get into the next verse, it's the Jacob's ladder story, and where Jacob takes rocks and makes a pillow. How many of you would choose rocks for a pillow? And falls asleep, and there's the dream of the ladder from the earth to the heaven, and angels descending up and down, and the Lord's at the top of it, and then grants his blessing to Jacob, and Jacob surrenders to the Lord. You don't ever see that surrender in Esau. And so that's why it's stated in that way. Becky?
Well, that statement about Esau have I hated, it reminds me a little bit about when God says, If you don't love me above your family and
right. All
these things, you know, he says it's going to be like hatred
yeah. That
you hate your family. It's not a hatred like we think.
Correct.
The other thing that I think about is that, Abraham deceived, Isaac deceived, Jacob deceived, Jacob's children all deceived, except for Joseph. It ended with Joseph.
Yeah.
But just the fourth and fifth generations of deception that pervaded that family.
Yeah, we've got to be careful. At some point, we've got to say, all right, this has gone on long enough. I can't just say, well, my dad was this way. Or my mom was this way. We never say mom was this way, but this story, mom was that way. And I'm going to stop that trend, because if we're not careful, it's what will naturally happen. Dave and Sandy shared with me, I haven't gotten his permission. You give me permission, Dave? Sure. But they fostered many. How many children did you foster, David?
I forget the numbers, like 60 something.
I thought it was around 67. And somewhere in the mid-60s, children they fostered. One of them, they even adopted. And he became much like his father, even though he never knew his father. I'm trying to drop the names purposely. So he became just like his dad, even though he never knew his dad. and is sadly very close, and ended up in prison because he followed a life that was equal to his dad.
Still living on the road.
Yeah, and still living that way. And sometimes that transfers, and I don't understand all of that, but it becomes almost like that DNA. And there it was again, a stealing, lying, deceiving type of a DNA. And so, anyone else? Yeah, Barlett?
Follow along with that. Sometimes, because we're doing the study, the small Bible study, but sometimes it's an easy opt-out. Oh, well, my dad's like that. So it takes work to not do that. And
yeah.
Sometimes it's not worth the work for some people.
Yeah, it's a choice. Am I going to work at making the change and asking the Lord for help, or just the easy out? This is how we've gotten through it before. I know it's not right, but okay. Rita?
I think we have to remember too that Jacob probably had this intense loyalty to his mother because she followed him all his life.
Yeah.
So he had to battle that, and he was intensely loyal to her. We have to watch
you or being
loyal to
us. Yeah, now it's a great point she's bringing out. And now with the human conscience, what it is, your children are thinking in their conscience, I shouldn't be doing this, but my mom's telling me to. So think about how we're teaching our children really to defy their conscience. God is putting his law upon their heart. They know it's wrong. And yet we're telling them to do wrong. And my mom's a Sunday school teacher. My mom teaches junior church. My dad's this. My dad's that. Whatever. VBS worker, whatever it is. And, okay, I guess I'll do it. But I don't feel right about this. And so, again, we got to be really careful. Brother Horst.
I was just going to say, over the years hearing this again, I often wondered if I was an identical twin or not even an identical twin. How would that change my understanding of this story?
Mm. Yeah, we'd have to ask Deidre, and she's not there. His arm's waiting for her, but she's not there. And Deidre and Danae would have that, being the identical twins and so forth. So, I'm sure there's an impact there. And you look at the story maybe even slightly differently. Anyone else? Yeah, Daniel.
I was thinking how Isaac and Jacob are the same way. They were both like the second born, but yet they were the heir of Jesus Christ.
That's a good point. Good point. Excellent point. Both the second born, but both end up ultimately being the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great point. Great point. Helen?
Well, I think it's wonderful that God accomplishes his purpose inspired willful sin. And we can take great comfort in our lives that not all is lost. We can pick up and go on, and God will accomplish his purpose anyway, regardless of our sins.
Yeah. God's mercy just glows out of this to me, how merciful God is, that he would take and use Jacob to the degree that he did. It's kind of like Peter when he went back to fishing and the Lord went after Peter. Folks, realize if you do something against the Lord, God is not done with you. And God wants to restore you. And so that's why we ought to be restoring one another. Miss Lois, you had your hand up.
I was just thinking how sad it is. She got what she wanted and how bitter it must have tasted when she got it. She actually lost herself.
Yes, somebody said you got what you wanted but lost what you had.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened, wasn't it? They got what they wanted and lost, and they lost a lot more than they got. Think of all the status. Where did that go? And in large part, family-wise, that went out the window, as we might say. And so again, let me just bring it to a brief, quick conclusion, I guess I'd say here. We really got to be careful when we are leaning on our own understanding instead of trusting the Lord, and manipulating events to happen the way we want them to happen. Sometimes manipulation becomes a habit of life, and it's something we need to break. And when we're manipulating, we're not trusting the Lord. We're leaning on our own understanding. And so we need to work at, as Barlett pointed out, sometimes we take the easy way out. Let's work at it. And Wherein is the good advice? Say, Jacob, it doesn't matter that you aren't getting the blessing. God will take care of you. The Lord's promised that he will take care of he gave that to your father, and he said that he's going to bless him and bless his family. God's going to take care of us. We don't need the birth. You already have the birthright. You don't need the blessing also. And wherein is that godly advice? Wherein is the trusting in the Lord? Wherein is being satisfied with what the Lord's going to give? And I think we can learn a lot of valuable lessons and adapt that, especially to our parenting, but in life in general. We're going to find chapter 28. Esau's going to get married for the third time. And then we're going to move into the story of Jacob's dream, what we would call Jacob's ladder, that ultimately has some time of Jacob's trouble type future events going to be referred back to this. Again, let me remind you, the DVDs are available. There's two of them up here if you'd like to borrow one for a little while. There's these posts that if you're interested, you don't even have to fill it out. If you take one, just I want to know a little bit more about it. Maybe I'd like to do one. Again, similar to the Living Will, but actually would override that. And if you need the devotional booklets and the tracts, we want to hand out tracts. All those things are available for you. Let's pray, dear Father.